It's hard to find anyone outside of Juneau or Anchorage who isn't skeptical of the new Alaska-class ferry project. And the Haines Museum is looking for your history. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more, up next. Last week, the Joint House and Senate Transportation Committee in Juneau heard from Department of Transportation Commissioner Pat Kemp about his reasoning for a sudden change in course to the Alaska-class ferry project. On Thursday, the committee heard from several Southeast leaders and residents about their concerns with those recent changes. The committee took public testimony on the subject and began by hearing from several Juneau residents who support the change to the plan that proposes two smaller and cheaper shuttle ferries for the Upper Lynn Canal. Some said with the state revenues declining and the high subsidies to the Alaska Marine Highway System, the change of course to save money was a positive one. But residents from other Southeast communities aired their concerns about the concept of shuttle ferries. Their safety, efficiency, unknown operating costs, whether a push for the Juneau Road Project played into this decision, and several people mentioned the lack of any public input or process that Commissioner Kemp admitted did not happen when he made his decision to scrap plans to build a single Alaska-class ferry. Those that commented included the mayors of Skagway and Haines, other assembly members and residents of the two communities, the mayors of Sitka, Hoona, and Cake, and residents from several other communities including Ketchikan and Petersburg. We'll bring you more on the committee meeting and the ferry project next week. More than 50 high school students statewide, including 9 from Haines High School, are taking an Intro to Mining Occupations course through the University of Alaska Southeast. On Tuesday, the students had quite the guest speaker on the first day of class. Governor Sean Parnell urged them to follow their passions, whether they end up working in the mining industry or not. KTOO's Casey Kelly has more.
This class is a path of opportunity for you, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it.
Parnell spoke to the class for about 30 minutes, answering questions ranging from his thoughts on future mine development in Alaska to what he enjoys most about being governor. He talked about the importance of keeping mining jobs in state and praised classes like Intro to Mining Occupations for teaching Alaska students the skills needed to do that work.
These mining jobs often pay $100,000 a year, and it's really something to consider because we have a lot of prospects here in Alaska as well, and you've got an administration and a governor and a legislature who are focused on trying to open up new opportunities.
The governor was the first of many guest speakers the class will hear from this semester. Professor Mike Bell worked at Hecla Greens Creek Mine before becoming director of the Center for Mine Training at UAS. He says he's identified more than 140 mining-related careers, everything from cooks to truck drivers to wastewater treatment engineers.
I'm not going to instruct in all of these fields because I don't have that kind of expertise. I've worked at Greens Creek Mine for 5 years and been a professor here for 6 or 7, but there are a lot of jobs that I don't know about. So what I do is I call up a mine engineer at maybe at Greens Creek or at CORE, and they come and talk to the students about how they got their job, the education required, and how they might take a path to get there.
This is the second year Bell has taught the class, designed for high school juniors and seniors. Last year, enrollment was limited to 20 students, all from Juneau. But this year, with the help of video conferencing equipment, there are 55 students statewide, from the Northwest Arctic Borough to remote parts of Southeast. The students pay $44 tuition and receive 3 college credits, according to Roxanne Morant with the State Department of Education and Early Development. The department is one of several partners that make the class possible. That includes mining companies like Hecla, which donated $300,000 to the University of Alaska Foundation in 2011 to help create the mine training program at UAS. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
The Haines students are taking the class through the Alaska Learning Network, which helps with distance learning opportunities. The class will also take a field trip to a nearby mine at some point during the semester. The Haines Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center is looking for your history. The museum is hosting a biography exhibit titled People of the Chilkat Valley. It's an idea that Museum Director Jerry Clark says has been percolating with her for a while.
I've been thinking about it for a couple of years as we've been redoing all of our exhibits, and we have information on events and places, but information only on a few people. And the people is what is the important part of history.
The museum is asking people to submit short biographies of a relative, friend, or maybe someone they admire from Haines history. And Haines history includes a wide swath of time and people.
And Haines history, actually it's the Chilkat Valley history, goes back to when the first Tlingit people came over the glacier or down the trail. And so I build it as from the beginning of human habitation to the present, because history is an ongoing thing. It didn't end in the 1950s.
Clark is asking people to submit one-page biographies along with a photograph of the person. People can email the biographies or photos or bring them to the museum to scan. The biographies will be displayed in the Hakkinen Gallery at least through March. Clark encourages people to submit biographies, even if they don't have a photo of their subject. She said the museum may also have a picture of the person, and she hopes to include other photos in the exhibit from the museum archives to get the public's help in identifying some of them.
So everyone, I think all of us are very important, and we leave our footsteps.
Clark said the museum will continue to accept submissions throughout the show, and they will be added to the museum archives once the show is over. And a quick update on the case involving the two Haines dogs shot with arrows last week. Due to some donations to the fund, Haines police are now offering about $750 for any information that leads to the arrest and indictment of anyone involved in the case. The two dogs were each struck with an arrow last week on Tuesday morning in the neighborhood near the Rapinski Hillside. Both dogs had to be sent to Juneau for treatment. One dog survived, but the other died in surgery. Haines Police Chief Gary Lois said his department is treating the incident as a serious criminal offense and have spent many hours on the case, combing the neighborhood and following up on tips to find out any information. The Haines Animal Rescue Kennel has also been assisting in the investigation. The Haines-Borough Assembly passed a motion at its meeting this week supporting the police in using resources needed to investigate the case. Chief Lowe said last week the arrows used in the shootings have been sent to the state crime lab to try to obtain any evidence from them. Anyone with information on the case is asked to call the Haines Police. And now for our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered, here's local writer Rosalie Lowen.
It is one of the most beautiful sounds I know. The scything of skates on ice rings through the air as I park my car in the chilly dawn hours. I pull my hockey stick out from where I have jammed it between my daughter's car seats. I string old hand-me-down skates and a helmet over the handle, happy butterflies of anticipation winging through me. On a rough bench, I lace up my skates quick before my hands freeze because it is painfully cold out. But without cold, there is no ice, and without ice, there is no hockey. Here in small town Haines, Alaska, we don't have an indoor Olympic center with bleachers, refrigerated coils, and Zambonis. It's only splintery boards set in an approximate oval under the wide open sky, and then flooded until the last of the pebbles subsides beneath the ice. When the stars align and I don't have to work and the children are being watched and the weather has cooperated, then I get to play hockey. As I play, everything else falls away. It is only the puck on my stick and that perfect pass that I just missed. It is only my muscles feeling warm enough to make the freezing air a blessing. The small town social strata fall away as the game speeds up. That hulking fellow playing right wing, who might never have two words for me as a young mother wrangling my children through the post office, gives grudging admiration when I manage to slip into the right spot, catch the puck on the tip of my stick, and whirl it into the goal. Too soon, the game winds down. Everyone has to head home to their chores and their regular selves. We scrape the ice clean with shovels and make way for the figure skaters and children. The sun has risen just enough to tip Rapinski and the cathedrals with gold, and I feel loose and easy. Today, winter is a playground and not a prison. At heart, I'm a pond hockey player, never a real hockey player. That's the way I like it. The rules are looser, the ice is rougher, and the view is fantastic. Thank you.
That was Rosalie Lowen with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. And it's a busy weekend of basketball for the Glacier Bears and Panthers. First up, on Friday and Saturday, Glacier Bear boys will be hosting the Wrangell Wolves at home. JV game starts at 6:30 and varsity at 8 each evening on Friday and Saturday. The Glacier Bear girls are traveling to Wrangell, and their games will air on KHNS on Friday and Saturday evening. Those times are still to be announced. And the Skagway Panthers are traveling to Hoona. Their games will air Saturday evening and on Sunday morning live at 11 a.m. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. This is Margaret Friedenauer in the KHNS Newsroom. We are news from the Upper Lynn Canal and Southeast region every weekday from Monday evening through Friday morning. On Monday mornings, we feature NPR Business News. And on Friday evenings, we bring you the Alaska Fisheries Report. We have a wrap-up of that week's local news on Saturday's Lynn Canal Weekend. And you can always listen to your news on your time and anytime by going to khns.org. Thanks for listening.